This evening we're going to be in the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 8. If you'll please turn with me there to the book of Acts, thank you for singing. And just for a few moments before the Lord's table, we're going to look at one more example of the Lord's miracles on the mission field. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Perhaps a favourite account of many here tonight. Philip and the Ethiopian. Acts chapter number 8. Why don't we read verses 26 to 31. Acts chapter number 8, verses 26 to 31. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask for the Lord's help as we look into his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Father, that your word would be made clear and, Lord, would be received as you desire. And Father, I do pray that you would help us to be excited and to, by faith, believe that you are at work in the regions beyond. Beyond what we can see, help us to believe by faith that you are still a miracle-working God. And help us, Lord, not only to live by faith in our mission field as witnesses, but also, Lord, help us to pray for these missionaries whom we have the privilege of supporting. Help us, Lord, as the Apostle Paul requested of old, to pray together with them to you, for you to do your will for your glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, the story of the Ethiopian eunuch is certainly an amazing one, and perhaps like me, it's one of your favourite stories, but I would have to admit it still is an account of a miracle on the mission field. Now, Philip, you might say, was an evangelist, but he was certainly doing the work of a missionary, amen? Because the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that God's people were not to just stay put in Jerusalem. Amen? They were not to just stay put where God had begun a great work in Jerusalem. No, they were to go out from Jerusalem unto, what's the next step? Judea, and then to Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, we know earlier in the book of Acts that God's people were certainly witnessing in Jerusalem. They were witnessing to the Jews that God's vision was much grander than that. Amen. The Lord's salvation was for the whole world. And we know that Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, but yet unsaved, as a Jew, as a Pharisee, what was he doing? The Bible says he was wreaking havoc upon the church. And he was haling men and women to prison, and Christians were losing their lives, like the martyr Stephen, who was put to death for his faith. Those were certainly dark days in the early days of the church. And yet already we see a miracle. Though the church was being persecuted, would you agree that God turned it all around for good? Amen? God turned the persecution into a motivation for God's people to leave Jerusalem, to disperse. And the Bible says they went everywhere preaching the gospel. And that's where Philip comes into the picture. Philip breached the border, if you will, of Judea, and he went to Samaria. He went to a place that really didn't like Jews, and Jews really didn't like them, and yet, but the evangelist Philip, he knew that God's gospel was for all. And so when he went to Samaria, he preached the gospel, and early in chapter 8, we see that souls were wonderfully saved. We could say that a revival took place in Samaria. And you know the story, souls were saved, souls were baptized, and then Peter came, and as an apostle, he confirmed that God's salvation had also gone to the Samaritans, and by laying on of hands, he confirmed that the gospel and salvation was also for them. And it was a wonderful time. It was an encouraging time for Philip. And if I tell you what, if I was Philip, I would have just rather hang around there and see what the Lord was going to do next. There was much still to do. There were new believers to be discipled. There was much ground to be covered. But suddenly, we see that Philip was called away to go out into the desert. To go out into the desert where he did not know what was going to happen. And in this short account of God's miraculous work on the mission field, we're going to continue to see the true miracle worker in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit of God, as he works in hearts and as he works through his people. First of all, notice the Holy Spirit's leading. Now, in verse 26, an unusual event takes place. The Bible says, "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Now, the angel of the Lord told Philip exactly where to go. And as Philip obeyed, he went out, and the Bible tells us, verse number 29, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot." So we see Philip was certainly a man who was filled with the Spirit of God. He was certainly a man who was willing to go where God wanted him to go. And that's the heart that every child of God ought to have. That is the missionary heart that we are called to have. That is the missionary heart God's sent children are called to have. A desire to say, "Yes, Lord, here am I, send me." As I said, for Philip, it made much more sense to stay where he was rather than to go out into the desert, not knowing where he was going, probably figuring out that maybe there was no one there. Who knows what was going through Philip's mind until he saw that caravan, that procession of the Ethiopian eunuchs approaching. And so Philip was called out to go. Notice what the Bible says in verse 27. How did he react? What does it say? "And he arose and went." See, Philip didn't hesitate. Philip didn't doubt. Philip didn't wonder whether this was the right decision for him. He simply trusted God's word and obeyed the word of God. And you and I as Christians, we also need to have the same heart. Perhaps you're here this evening and you might say, "Well, it doesn't make sense for God to send me somewhere. I feel like that this is where I'm meant to be, and this is where everything is happening and in my life, and all the pieces have been put together." But yet when God desires us to go, we need to expect that that is his best plan for our lives. That is his will, and he will certainly lead us to ground that is in need of the gospel, and souls will be saved. And Philip was certainly a wonderful example of a Spirit-filled Christian. And as we witness in the city of Cairns, we need to be walking with the Lord so we will be sensitive to whom the Lord would have us to witness to. I mean, at the end of the day, there are people all around us, amen? There are people all around us, and we need God's leading to lead us to those who are seeking. Lead us to those who need the gospel, those who need a track, those who need to be invited to church, those who need to be witnessed to. And we have the wonderful help of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, to lead us to where we are meant to be. certainly some wonderful application for our witness. But this missions month, we've been encouraged on Sunday nights as we've seen God's miracles on the mission field to pray for our missionaries, to pray. Just like the Apostle Paul beseeched, that word means to plead, to beg. He knew how important the prayers of God's people were, that they would strive together in their prayers for him, and we need to strive together in our prayers for our missionaries. We need to pray that they would be filled with the Spirit of God, that God would protect them from temptation, from unbelief, from what you and I struggle with also in our witness. We need to pray that God would fill them with his Spirit and lead them to good ground where the Word of God can be sown. The Spirit of God in his leading. What a wonderful example for Philip to guide him to where God wanted him to go. And friends, that is a miracle. That is a miraculous work of God. God dwelling within us, enabling us to witness and supernaturally directing us exactly where he wants us to go. And yes, it may not make sense, but God knows all and we know very little. Amen? So we simply need to allow him to lead. And by the way, before we go into the next point, it's the Spirit of God that also calls missionaries and selects them to go. In Acts chapter 13, we see that as Paul and Barnabas ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." Maybe God is working in your heart to pray, "Lord, here am I, send me." Amen. When he lays that upon our heart, we need to listen to his leading. That's a miraculous work of God to build up and prepare and then to separate and send out missionaries to the field of God's choosing. And as God's people, we've been commanded to pray that laborers, as the Lord Jesus said, would be sent out into the harvest field. At the end of the day, that's what the Evans's camp is all about. Team is the theme. Team, that's a wonderful theme. Together, everyone achieves more. Amen? Together, everyone achieves more. And the goal of the camp is to stir up the young people by faith to surrender, to serve together, and to be willing to become the future preachers and missionaries of tomorrow. And that is their goal in the camp. That is what the preaching will be focused upon. So it would be good for us to pray, amen, that the leaders will be filled with the Spirit of God, that the preachers would be filled with God's Spirit. They would lead them to those who need to be saved. They would lead them, also those who are saved, to surrender to God's will to go and to his work. The miraculous leading of God's Spirit. Now, as Philip went, we know he obeyed immediately, didn't he? He arose and he went. He didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. He didn't doubt. He didn't linger around for a while. He was certainly a Spirit-filled believer. As we move forward, he went out into the desert, and there he saw something perhaps he had never seen before. In verse 27, "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot." So he was a wonderful opportunity for an excited and Spirit-filled missionary. An African, an Ethiopian, traveling through the desert that needed the gospel, and the Lord knew that the gospel had to go to North Africa. Amen? The Lord knew that this Ethiopian eunuch was seeking, and what a wonderful example of God's wisdom, God's appointment. Again, he could have stayed there in Samaria. But God said, "No, it's time to move on. It's time to go. It's time to witness to that next person. My plan is perfect. Just trust in me." The Holy Spirit's leading. And then as Philip went forward, as he saw the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible tells us that this was not just a lone African traveling in the desert. He was, in fact, a government official. He was the treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia. This man wasn't a poor man, amen? This man was a rich man. This man was a person of importance, a person of close to royalty, a servant of the queen. And you can imagine with me, as he was traveling through the desert, a dangerous place to travel, no doubt he was not alone. No doubt he wasn't traveling through the desert. He was in a chariot. That means someone would have had to be pulling that chariot. That means no doubt that there was an entourage, a group of African bodyguards, if you will. Maybe they were a little bit scary to look at. And especially when Philip saw them coming, we could imagine what was going through his heart. And suddenly the Spirit of God said, "Go near," in verse 29, "and join thyself to this chariot." Now, what would you and I have done? What would you and I have done? Now, remember, there was no invitation for Philip to come closer to this group of people. And perhaps to this entourage of bodyguards and the eunuch traveling in the chariot, I wonder what they would have thought when they saw someone wandering in the desert. And I don't think Philip was dressed any more than an average Christian would have been. And maybe he looked a little bit suspicious from a distance. I wonder what they would have thought. I wonder what Philip would have thought. I wonder what we would have done if God would have said to us to go and to witness to a group of strangers, perhaps a menacing group of strangers. How would we have felt? Well, verse number 30, have a look there with me. What does the verse tell us that Philip did? And Philip ran thither to him. Now that's amazing. Considering the situation, you and I perhaps would have taken the long way around and maybe done a big circle around the group and try to maybe come in through the back. And to be honest, that's sometimes how we witness, don't we? We talk to someone and we don't get to the gospel straight away, and we're a little bit afraid to come get to the point, and we go the long way around and maybe talk about the weather for half an hour and maybe talk about, you know, some news events. And nothing wrong with breaking the ice, but let's be honest, sometimes we take the long way around when God says go and share the gospel. And we see a wonderful boldness of Philip to not just do what the Lord has told him to do, but to run. Now, what would you have thought if you were in that entourage? If you were a bodyguard, if you were the eunuch, someone running, and if he, as the Bible says, was filled with the Spirit, as we believe he was, I don't think he was running slowly. He was running excitedly. He was running with a purpose. Now, Philip, where did he get this courage from? Now, I think we've already admitted we wouldn't have this courage naturally in our own selves. Where did he get this courage from? Where would he get this boldness? Well, the same person that had told him to go, amen, was the same Spirit of God that would give him that boldness to be someone God wanted him to be. You see, you and I are really nothing in ourselves. We don't have the courage to be a witness. We don't have the personality to be a witness. Sometimes we get a bit confused and we think, well, some Christians are born again with a certain personality and others aren't, and some are witnesses, and I'm just not that confident. But the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power." Amen. The supernatural courage to be witnesses unto me. Not just in the place where you live and you're comfortable with, not just in the regions round about, but in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. And here we see a true missionary crossing the border, if you will, going out to witness to a foreigner, an African, excitedly trusting in the Spirit of God and courageously approaching that caravan. His courage was not of his own. He was bold in the Spirit of God. Notice Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. While we're nearby to this chapter and verse, Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31. The Bible says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." And what happened next? "And they spake the word of God with boldness." You see, their courage did not come from themselves. We understand what happened at Pentecost. We understand that does not happen today, because immediately when the Christian, when a person is saved and becomes a born again Christian, the Spirit of God dwells within us. But the Bible says that these were not just indwelt by the Spirit of God, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Spirit's presence. And so as they went out to preach the gospel in Jerusalem, they not only had His filling, they had His boldness and courage. And that's why you and I need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be walking in the Spirit. You see, a distance from God means a weakness in witness. Sin in our life drains our spiritual confidence to tell other people about the gospel. Isn't that true? When there's sin in your life and mine, we don't want to tell a soul about Jesus Christ. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that amazing? Well, it just tells us how feeble we are and how much we need the Lord. But when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're sensitive to God's leading, when we're walking with the Lord, He gives us a wonderful joy and a wonderful boldness to be a witness. And this is the courage that you and I need, the courage that Philip had, the boldness to do what we're uncomfortable with, what we are fearful of. What a wonderful example of the Holy Spirit's strengthening. Amen. Philip wasn't unlike you and I, made of the same stuff. Amen. Same Savior. Same weak flesh, same fears, and yet Philip was willing to trust in God. You see, the same Spirit of God that said go, he knew the same Spirit of God would help him to preach the gospel. Boldness and courage. Now, when it comes to our missionaries, let's be sure to pray that they would be reliant on the Spirit of God, that they would be filled with His presence in His leading, of course, that they would be bold. And, well, would you agree with me tonight that our missionaries face situations that you and I would never face? You and I would never face. Let's use the example of Philip. How many of us would ever go to a place right now to witness to a group of strangers from a different nationality alone in the desert and facing faces that I wonder whether they were smiling, amen? And maybe those of you who minister in Papua New Guinea will know what it's like to come up to a crowd of people who might not look that friendly if they're not smiling. Once they do smile, it's a wonderful thing. But in different cultures, when we approach them, when we want to witness, if they're not looking approachable, it can be a fearful thing. It can be a challenging thing. But God knows best, and we need His boldness. The Apostle Paul certainly faced difficult situations. When he was in prison, he prayed for the brethren and invited them and asked them to pray for us, he said, that a door would open to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. The Apostle Paul was basically saying, please pray for me that my circumstances won't bring me down. The difficult situation I'm in won't discourage me. Pray for me, if you will, to be filled with the Spirit, that I might make the gospel manifest. What does that mean? It means to declare. It means to preach the gospel, that I might preach the gospel as I meant to preach it. Not fearfully, not with doubt, not with discouragement, but with boldness and courage. And that's the prayer we need to pray for our missionaries, that they would be filled with the Spirit of God. Because trust me, they face situations that you and I would tremble as a result of. But because God has called them to go, they need to know the same Spirit of God that has led them there is the same Spirit of God that would give them the courage in difficult situations. You've all heard of the fierce tribal battles in the Crows ministry up there in the Highlands. Brother Keck, you would know. The wonderful thing about the Highlands is that it's much cooler weather up there, but the people are much fiercer as well. So you have that two-edged sword. So the people are much fiercer. They fight ferociously over their land, and there are a lot of situations that missionaries face in the Highlands that are just not pretty. Violent, deadly situations. So what does a missionary do? Well, they need the leading and the boldness of the Spirit of God. We've heard many reports from the crows, haven't we? How these situations that we thought would be disastrous, the Lord has turned around for good, and He's used His servants, missionaries, to do His work for God's glory. Boldness, boldness, the miraculous boldness. We don't have it. Amen? We don't have that courage. We don't have that strengthening that we need. We can try and rely on our own strength for a while, but it won't last long. Sooner or later, we'll face a situation that we are fearful of. And that's where Philip was, in the desert. And the Spirit of God said, go ahead, join yourself to that chariot. Yes, that chariot that's being guarded. Yes, that chariot that has not invited you to come. Yes, that chariot that's alone in the desert. No one can see who you are. No one's around to protect you, Philip. You haven't got a bunch of other fellow Christians to encourage you. I haven't even sent you out two by two. Amen? There was Philip. What would he do? Well, he had to make a choice to rely on the Spirit of God and the strengthening that He provides. So let's pray for our missionaries. Amen? For God's leading, for God's boldness, and thirdly, for God's wisdom. God's wisdom. Now, understanding that the Holy Spirit was at work in both leading him there and strengthening him, the Bible says Philip approached the chariot. Now, notice Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. We've already seen Philip run hither to the chariot. Wonderful descriptive passage. God is not lying to us. He ran, amen, excitedly. And then he was so close, he heard the Ethiopian read the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And who was the first one who did the talking? It was Philip. Remember, he wasn't invited yet. He drew close to them. What a boldness in the Spirit, amen. And he didn't just ask him, how are you? How's your day going? He asked him a very pointed question, a spiritual question. A challenging question, in fact, when it comes to someone who is dignified, a part of the royalty of Ethiopia, and he asked him, do you understand what you're reading? What you're reading. Not only does the Spirit of God give us leading and boldness, but He also gives us wisdom. Now, did Philip know who this man was? Yes or no? No, he didn't. Never met him in his life. Did Philip know what this Ethiopian was going to say next? Not at all. Could he possibly have been a little bit frightened about what might happen next? Possibly. But he was bold in the Spirit. And God gave Philip the words to speak and the wisdom to share the gospel. Now, we all know how difficult it is to start a conversation. That's probably the most difficult part when it comes to witnessing. How do we start? What do we say, especially with someone from a different culture, completely opposite to ours? And that's why God says that I will equip you for my service. Amen? I will send the Spirit of God, he said to his disciples. And until then, you need to wait for me in Jerusalem. But once you are filled with his presence, you'll have the leading, you'll have the boldness, and you'll have the wisdom to preach the gospel. And we need to be reminded about the miraculous work of the Spirit of God. He gives us wisdom. Amen? Philip had great wisdom just by simply asking, do you understand what you're reading? And we know that the Ethiopian eunuch invited him into the chariot, invited him to join him, invited him to share the scriptures with him. And Philip simply saw where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading, and he started at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus. And what a wonderful encouragement to us as Christians. You know, we may not know when we approach someone to witness to them why God wants us to witness to them, but we need to have the confidence to know that there's a reason. You see, unbeknownst to Philip, this eunuch was seeking, and God was doing a work in his heart, was he not? Because straight away he invited him to come up and sit next to him. And we need to be careful not to be so fearful that we think that this person will never get saved. And maybe I should just keep walking and head in the opposite direction to the one that the Lord wants me to witness to. See, Philip was sensitive to the Spirit of God, and he relied on God's wisdom to witness. He shared the same scripture, and God helped him as he went along. What a wonderful, miraculous work of God's Word working in the heart of this eunuch to open up his understanding and to bring light to the darkness of his soul. And as Philip preached the gospel, verse 35, and Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Amen. Suddenly, the Ethiopian eunuch's eyes were open. Suddenly, something took place. Well, he said to Philip, "How can I understand this except someone show me?" Now, when Philip showed him, suddenly a miracle of faith took place in the eunuch's heart. Amen? Suddenly there was belief there. Suddenly there was faith there. And the Ethiopian eunuch, as we know, was wonderfully saved and desired to be immediately baptized. And as we pray for our missionaries, thirdly, let's also not forget to pray that God would give them wisdom. Amen? We can only imagine what wisdom you need to witness to a culture that is completely different from your own. Because just simply by talking to the missionaries that visit and church family, they encourage you to make friends with them, to have them over, to get to know them, and you'll have an appreciation for the work of God in the regions beyond. Because as we witness to folks in Cairns, hey, we're witnessing to people, most of them, who can speak English, who are in fact trying to fit into the culture that we live in. And though they may not be completely the same, they're here in Australia, amen? But as soon as you leave this country, you're heading into the unknown. A culture that's completely different. A culture that oftentimes is the complete opposite. So what do our missionaries do? How can they be effective for God? Well, we need to pray that they would have God's wisdom, knowing how to start a conversation, in knowing what to say, which scriptures to go to. Amen? We know the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But there are many scriptures of Christ in the Word of God. Give them wisdom, we need to pray, to lead them to the truth. Give them wisdom to perceive where that person is at. You know, oftentimes someone can just nod and smile. You're not really sure whether are they understanding? Do they really believe? Or are they just being polite? You know, the Evans have communicated to us and shared with us personally about the difficulty of witnessing in Japan. Why? Because the people are so polite. The people are so willing to not offend you. They will be polite and they will stop and listen to what you have to say. But their politeness is just a diplomatic politeness. It's not a personal desire. And oftentimes, Brother Evans says, it's so hard to tell whether they're just bowing and smiling and just happy to listen to you for a little while, but really they just can't wait to get out of there. But they're doing the polite thing. They're listening. They're giving you some of their time. That's the difficulty missionaries face. You know, Philip was facing a completely different culture right there and then as an evangelist missionary. And here we see the wonderful work of the Spirit of God at work. Let's be encouraged to pray more fervently for our missionaries. Amen? They need the Lord just as much as we do. They need our prayers. And the eunuch was miraculously saved. Now, legend has it that the Ethiopian eunuch returned home, preached the gospel in his own nation, and the first church in North Africa started in the nation of Ethiopia. The gospel to Africa. The Lord certainly knows what He is doing. Amen? The Lord knows what He's doing. And we simply need to be yielded and surrendered to the Spirit of God. He leads, therefore we need to be filled with His presence. He strengthens, therefore we need to rely on His power. And He gives wisdom, therefore we need to seek to be filled with His presence and in the Word of God so He may direct us to spiritual opportunities. Our missionaries need our prayers. Now, God does the miraculous, but He uses His people. Amen? He uses His people. So let's, as we approach Wednesday night prayer meeting, let's be encouraged to pray. We can pray off the prayer requests. Amen? As God, the Holy Spirit, leads you to pray, maybe He will give you a greater heart to pray fervently for some of the needs we've been talking about tonight. For wisdom, for boldness, and for God's leading, so that His work may go forward and souls may be saved.